So let me see. There we go. All right. Good to see you. Merry Christmas. And this is going to be an exciting week, especially for little ones and for all of us, as a matter of fact. In fact, earlier this week, my brother, closest to me in age, or 2 years apart, him and his wife flew into Kansas City to see my parents. And so Mary Lou and I drove down to Kansas City and spent a couple of days with them and had a great time together. One of the things that Josh actually got us in the habit of doing when we can is when they live down there, there's this section in Kansas City where block after block, they kind of compete. I don't know if it's compete or not, but man, they decorate. And like then usually there's a lot of times there'll be a theme. And so you're driving up these streets and there's lights everywhere. And then you turn to the next block and it's lights everywhere. It's really beautiful. And so we did that one evening and really enjoyed that. And I know I've shared this story before. When we lived in Maryland, we lived on a street called Dundee Avenue for a while, and Dundee was one of those streets that did that. Everybody in the block just went out of their way Christmas time. There were lights everywhere, and I must admit that I was the Scrooge of the block. I did not want to put out lights, and I was kind of frustrated by it all, and it'll fit into a minute what I'm going to talk about. Until one day, and I've told you this before. One night we're driving up there, we're driving up and looking at all the lights. Came to our dark house, and my wife says to me, "Well, it looks like you're the only one who doesn't celebrate Christ's birthday on this block." So stand corrected. So as we dig into today's message, I'm speaking to all you Scrooges out there. You know who you are. This time of year when you walk around with a scowl on your face because everything irritates you, the lights, the mess, the excess weight that comes on because of the cookies, the parties, the traffic, the incessant ringing of bells everywhere you go. The realization that this is all going to get paid for sometime in the middle of April, just in time for taxes, isn't that exciting? All this that seems to overwhelm us. Well, this morning we're going to spend some time looking at one of the central characters, individuals of the Christmas story, who had no idea what he was getting into. All he knew was he loved a young woman named Mary, but he was about to find out how dangerous love was. So go with me. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, and that section that Lee read from a little bit ago, Matthew chapter 1. And most of you know this as you're getting there. Matthew is one of those guys that decided actually to give up his life direction, his career, to follow this new rabbi named Jesus. There were a lot of rabbis around that Matthew could have followed, but Matthew had a pretty lucrative career, even though his pursuit of it definitely made him an unpopular dude in Jewish circles, because he would collect taxes for the Roman government and helped him. He made a bunch of bucks, but was not liked by his fellow Jews at all, but it was worth the money in his mind. It's worth his money to not be invited to the parties and to get rude comments and have people change aisles in the grocery store or whatever they had back in those days. That was all worth it to him because he just was really raking in the money. That is, until he met Jesus. And something about Jesus was so powerful and so promising that he gave up all of that to become a Jesus follower, one of his students, one of his disciples. And then God used this ex-tax collector to be among the four individuals who he chose by design of God to write about his life and his ministry in the four Gospels we had. Matthew is one of the ones chosen to do this. And we're looking at this section where he writes about the birth of Jesus this morning. We're going to start. And I suspect that most of us have lived long enough by now to know that love can be dangerous. Even back in those maybe teenage years, that first broken heart where I don't know if that was real love or not, but I know when she walked away or when he said, I want to break up, it was a broken heart. And you found out love can be very dangerous. So as we move into Matthew's record of Jesus' birth, we're going to move into the greatest love story ever told. but also one of the most challenging. So follow along. We're going to start off with verses 18 and 19 of Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, this is old info. We've all heard this many times before. It's part of the love story between Joseph and Mary. But the pictures, the romantic pictures that we see often around this time of year, and even the picture we put in our mind lots of times when we think about Mary and Joseph, doesn't portray it like it really was. And so I want us to talk through that. There's a lot of things that we know based on history that bring this romantic love story back down to earth and show us in the process how dangerous love can be and yet how important it can be. Mary, based on the history of the times, and this is all probably old information to you, was a young girl. She was a teenager, probably around 14 years old. This is kind of the normal engagement age for young women in those days. Joseph was probably around 19. And we think to ourselves, wow, that's young. But when in those days, the life expectancy of a man, especially a man who worked common labor, was around 35 to 40 years old. So if you're going to have a family and see the family grow up somewhat, you got started pretty young. In those days, something you probably already know, but it's mentioned here, and so I want to make sure we have a proper understanding. It says that when Mary was pledged or engaged to Joseph, and again, this is, you probably heard this before, but just to remind us, and then it talks about Joseph deciding to divorce her, and we can get a little bit confused because we don't understand, this is not the way we do it nowadays. When we think of our times, they weren't even married yet, and they're just engaged, and how does divorce language come into the process of this conversation? Well, again, and you probably already know this, but back in those days, when a man and a woman committed to marriage by becoming engaged, it was actually a legal process. They would actually go to the county register or whoever the local authority was, and they'd have to go through a process of registering as an engaged couple. And once that took place, they were legally bound to each other. They were saying to each other publicly, we are committed to each other from this point on. There will be no other. And then that process usually lasted about a year, would start. And part of the process was the woman would go back to her home and she would begin to gather things that they were going to need in their household. I'm sure mom would help her, and some things they'd have to make. But that was that process, getting all these things ready for her house when they started her house. And the husband, usually, depending on the finances in the family, the husband-to-be would then go back to his house, and he would begin adding on to his father's house, an area where him and his new bride, when they got married, would go to live. Now, if they have more funds, he'd build his house himself for his wife. But usually, and especially in Joseph's situations, we know that they didn't have a lot. And so probably Joseph went back and started adding on to his home and working on it so that when he got married, there was a place for him and his new bride to go. Now, when all that was done, like I say, that was usually about a year's process. When it was all done, then he would gather the wedding procession, and they would go to the home of his bride, and they would escort his bride then back to where the wedding ceremony was going to be held, and they would go through the ceremony. Now, one thing that I want us to notice here, since we talked about how young these two are, and we don't have young kids in this service too much, we just have young at heart in this service for the most part. But, you know, when we realize that these are two teenagers that we're talking about with that are getting married. In fact, over in Luke chapter 1, we'll look at that next Sunday. You get your DVD or online. That's what we're going to be looking at next Sunday regarding Mary, when Mary is greeted by the angel Gabriel with greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. We're going to look in detail at that next Sunday, but later on that same chapter of Luke, chapter 1, Mary writes a song, if you remember, expressing her heart to God. It's a tremendous song, and it clearly demonstrates that she's passionate about God and about serving Him and her relationship with Him. And remember, she's only 14 years old, and that's remarkable to me today. And one of the things I'm going to point out and push next service, that's when our teens show up, is that if you're a teenager and you've kind of said, well, this stuff is for old people, I'm going to wait around till I get a little older and then I'll look into it seriously, that's just not the case. It's not true. God's using these two teenagers. They're a part of a process that's going to change the world, that we're celebrating now, 2,000 years later. And so I'm going to challenge them to not settle for later on, thinking about the relationship with God. And Joseph as well, as a young man, as a 19-year-old, chosen by God to be the human father figure in his son's life. Matthew, verse 19, we find out it says that Joseph is faithful to the law. Some translations, probably your translation maybe puts it, Joseph was a righteous man. That's one that we hear most of the time. He was a righteous man, but he's only 19 years old. Think about 19-year-old boys nowadays. We like to call them men. Some of them are, but a lot of them, you know, they're really, really proficient at video games. They're great at video games. They love, you know, their car, driving around in their car, and enjoying the newfound freedom they have now that they're no longer 18 years old. I'm 19 years old now. I can do what I want. But here's a 19-year-old who is already a fervent follower of God. He's already decided that he will be passionate about his relationship with God. And as a result, God does remarkable things through this young man. And again, just that challenge to young people that not to sell yourself short in what God can do. But all of us, is that the case? It doesn't matter what age, we come to that position where we say, God, you know, I know that you haven't been the first place in my life. I know that you've just been part of my life. I know that's, I'm missing out on something because of that. I want to make my relationship with you the most important thing. And we'll be amazed. I don't care what age you are. You'd be amazed at what God can do through you to a person who is sold out to God. But let's go back to the story now, this love story. We have two young people very much in love with each other, moving into what's supposed to be the happiest time of their life. And then all of a sudden, one of the other Gospels tells us that Mary, for some unexplained reason, leaves town. Remember, that's the way the story goes. Mary leaves town. Joseph doesn't know why she left. The people in town don't know why she left. She just suddenly leaves town. Now, you and I know the reason because we know the story. We've heard the story before. But they don't. She's gone. She's left town. Now, we know that an angel has appeared to her, and she's been told that she is going to be carrying a child, and this child will be placed in her womb by God himself, by the Holy Spirit, and that he is the Son of God. We know that, but Joseph doesn't, and the people of town don't. All he knew was that for some inexplicable reason, his fiancée has left town, and then the next thing he finds out, after a couple of months goes by, when she comes back, is she's pregnant. We often don't remember that part of the story. Prior to that day, no woman had ever gotten pregnant without a man being involved. And Joseph knew, think of what's going through Joseph's mind, he knew it wasn't him. He could only assume that while Mary was gone, she had broke her pledge. She had been unfaithful. And it broke his heart. You see it in the scripture. Verse 19 goes on and said, Joseph did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. This, I think, tells us a number of things. It tells us that Joseph was not so much angry as he was hurt. He was brokenhearted. He couldn't understand. He thought they were in love. They had made a pledge to each other publicly. And so he was deeply, deeply hurt. He was a broken man. The letter of the law said that Joseph, in this circumstance, had the legal right, if he so chose, to require Mary to go through a public trial because of her pregnancy, where her, at least in the eyes of everyone who didn't understand what was going on here, where her despicable behavior and betrayal would be exposed before everyone in the community. They'd all know that Joseph had not done wrong, that it is Mary who had done wrong. She would be shamed. That's what the legal system allowed and said should happen. She'd be shamed for her behavior in front of everyone. You can imagine that a man in a situation like that could be very angry. And his ego, his sting from being betrayed and embarrassed by his bride-to-be could easily fall, make him favorable to move that direction. She has done me wrong, and I want everybody to know what she's done. You can imagine that being the case if a man wanted to in this circumstance. But Joseph didn't. He chose to go through a quiet divorce, which was also allowed, where as much as possible things were kept in confidence. Joseph chose that route in the midst of his sadness and his confusion. He still cared about what happened to Mary, even though he felt deeply betrayed and brokenhearted. Love can be very dangerous. It comes with tremendous risk and potential heartache and pain. Of course, I don't have to tell you that. Most of you have been there in some fashion or form at some point. Maybe not to the extent of what's going on here, but maybe so. You've been betrayed. You've been deeply hurt by someone. Someone you loved with all your heart. Someone you trusted. Someone you had committed life to. And they broke that trust in a painful way. And even if it's not the case, maybe it's not betrayal. Maybe it's simply walking alongside someone you love. As they walk through a heavy time, you know your love causes you to hurt right along with them. Love comes with that risk. Genuine love just works that way. Of course, we know what happens next, but let me read it. I'm going to just read verse 20 and 21 of Matthew 1. Verse 20 we read, but after he, Joseph, had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So now Joseph has the full story. The gaps are filled. But something we need to recognize, and maybe you have before, but think about this. This really has not made it any easier for Joseph, this information. You might think that it would, and sure, certainly it's made it easier in the sense of he feels better about Mary. He doesn't feel the betrayal anymore. But he still has a huge decision to make. Even if he believes what the angels told him, which we're told he does, the reality if he goes forward and marries Mary, his reputation goes on the chopping block. You realize that? If he follows through on this marriage, his reputation as a godly man, a godly young man, is over. Because now, it won't be just assumed that she's immoral. Now the assumption is going to be that he is immoral. That together they have broke the laws of God. Together they have broke their pledge. Which, especially back in those days, was a shameful thing. If he moves forward with the marriage, it's going to be both of them that will be shamed. quietly divorcing her, still from a human perspective, from a pride perspective, from an image perspective. If you want to remain in this place where people think you're a godly young man, really it still makes more sense humanly for Joseph to go forward with the private divorce. Because if he doesn't, when Mary begins to show, if she's not already doing so, the shame she bears will also be his shame. People won't understand. People will assume that he's done wrong and his godliness is out the window. His reputation will be marred for the rest of his life because love's dangerous. And sometimes that danger comes when you say to the one you love, we will walk through this together. Whatever it costs, whatever it takes, you are not alone. Verse 19 says, actually, I think I'm behind myself. I want to see what's next there. Verse 24 and 25 say, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Before we move on, I'd like us to listen to a song. You've heard it before, but just as a reminder again of this whole thing that's going on in Joseph's life at this moment.
Second.
Such a strange way to save the world, surrounded by rumors, innuendos, conversations of indiscretion, and these stories, as untrue as they are, because people didn't understand, would follow Joseph and Mary for the rest of their lives. Such a strange way to bring a Savior into the world. Love can be dangerous, and dangerous love surrounds the Christmas story. This love would forever change Mary's life. This love would cost her dearly. This love would forever change Joseph's life. His reputation as a godly man would go out the window, at least for some. Even though in reality, marrying Mary was the most godly thing he had ever done. And yet most would never see it that way. For God's sake, he would simply have to endure people's misunderstanding or worse. But he obeyed and moved forward because he loved God and he loved Mary. But ultimately, this is the story of God's love. His love for you, his love for me. God loves us so much that he absorbed all the danger that love was going to cost. He took it upon himself to do what needed to be done for us so we could be in relationship with him. God allowed his son to be placed in a world that was filled with hatred and racism and prejudice, evil, corrupt, with a legal system that was so corrupt and political that you could actually put a man to death on trumped up charges, where life had little value, where loving humanity was a very dangerous love. And yet God did it, and he does it. He continues to love us and watch over us. And even though my assumption is, because I know the folks in this room, my assumption is that you've responded to that love. You have accepted that gift. The payment for the gift was made on the cross. You know that. We talk about that a lot. The payment for our sins, which had separated us from God, Jesus Christ took on himself on the cross and died in our place. And my assumption is that all of you know that and you've responded, but just in case, just let me remind you, this is not about how often you're at church. It's not about how many verses you've memorized. It's not about how many Sunday school pins that you have in your jewelry box. It is only about one thing and one thing alone. What have you done with Jesus Christ's offer of forgiveness and restored for relationship with God? Have you accepted that gift? For God loves you so much that he gave his one and only son, that if you will believe in him, accept his sacrifice on your behalf, you will live with God forever, starting this very day. And so although I assume that you already all know this, I want to make sure. Have you accepted the gift God's offering this Christmas season? Will you accept that gift if you haven't? Let's pray. Father, I think everyone here knows you. But there's always that chance that they've been caught up in the assumption that because they hang around Christians and they come to church on a regular basis and they talk about you in their life, that those are the things that that you're looking for, and they're figuring that they do enough good that when times comes for them to go be with you, you're going to invite them to be there. And not that any of those are bad things, but they're not what you said, have told us it takes to become your child, to be forgiven, to be restored in a relationship with you, to have a heavenly home set apart for us. The one thing that does that is if we have accepted your gift of forgiveness paid for by our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And so my prayer is that everyone in this room has made that decision. Father, thank you for loving us, that dangerous love, for stepping into such an ugly world. Thank you for not being concerned about reputation, innuendos, rumors, by choosing this young couple who you knew in their godliness would follow through, as hard as it was going to be, they would follow through in obedience, and that our Savior would be born of Mary, a virgin. Thank you for loving us so much. We love you back, Lord. We thank you for this very special season when we celebrate the birth of our Savior. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Church, would you stand with me? Let's sing one last chorus together.
King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come and rise up. King of heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong. You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, come.
Church, have a Merry Christmas. Hopefully we'll see you Christmas Eve, either the 23rd or 24th. Have a great week. We'll see you then.